Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
So we're here and you're watching Don Reese's Miracle Stories. So you better keep watching because I'm going to be on it pretty darn soon. If you don't, I'm going to go Hercules on you. Okay.
What's up, it's Joe Catone, and you're listening to Don Reese with Miracle Stories. I know I have a bunch of miracle stories to tell everyone, so hopefully we'll get a chance to do that. But you're listening to it right now.
Yay! Hi, I'm Don Reese with Miracle Stories TV Network. I will bring you inspirational stories that will warm your heart and give you more faith in walking with God. Do you have a miracle story? Call 727-871-7788. You could be next to give your miracle story testimony. And if you want miracles to happen in your life, join us at beaminghope.org in Largo, an amazing church with real miracle stories. And we have Sunday service, Wednesday Bible study, women's fellowship, men's fellowship, and kids flip night. Get right with God and come to beaminghope.org. I'll see you here with miracle stories.
A true blue spectacle, a miracle come true.
Hi, welcome to this part of Hollywood Connections special miracle stories we have today. I have different shows. I have the Concierge Show. This one is very inspiring to my heart because I love inspirational stories to help people get through their lives. And I'd like to introduce an amazing guest from Leslie sent her over, Leslie Graham. And she is just an amazing woman. We're going to get her on the show. And she actually helps people write books. And she said, I've got a really amazing guest for you. So introduce yourself.
Okay. I'm Melinda Stortenbecker, and I think we're going to be talking about a book I've written.
Yes.
Using Leslie's services. It's
That's
wonderful.
Amazing. And we're going to talk about homeschool.
Yes.
And you've homeschooled your kids for how long?
My son never went to a public school, so and he just graduated with a physics degree.
That's
doctorate.
Amazing. Well, I just want to start the show out with a prayer for everybody real quick. I just want to thank God, my Father, for all the grateful things that I have in my life and my family. And when you're 63, your life priorities have changed. And that's where I'm going towards miracle stories to inspire you as well. And I just pray for everyone listening, if you're going through anything in your life, and start to pray about it. If you're up in the middle of the night, start praying about it. Pray over your house. And we just ask for favor over everyone listening to my show today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And, you know, I just realizing because people say, why are you so happy? You know, you've gone through a lot in your life. And the joy of the Lord is really in your spirit and in your heart. And you said you were praying all the way here.
Oh, absolutely.
and I have to say, I know celebrities that, you know, get up in the morning, they read their Bible, they listen to the Christian music. They don't go out that door until they are fully prayed over. And to hear you say that you prayed all the way here, that is amazing. So let's start out. Tell us a little bit about your story. We'll get into your book later. And you're a teacher, and you started homeschooling your children at what age?
Well, actually, I'm a homeschool teacher. I'm not registered or licensed or anything. My mother was a teacher. My mother was a teacher's teacher, and I never, ever wanted to be a teacher.
Right.
I got to see her, you know, use our money
right.
to pay for her kids' food and
but
pay for her kids' clothes.
But she inspired you.
Actually...
Or who inspired you?
God.
So, did you have a calling? I mean, did you...
No.
Were you? How did
no.
that... Let's start
okay.
from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I had a calling to have a child. You know, I had a wonderful husband. We wanted babies. And once I had my daughter, I wanted her. I didn't want someone else to raise my daughter. And, you know, with the whole... steps that you take, you do this, you do shots, you do, you know, this, you put them in kindergarten and everything like that.
Right.
And especially with my parents being in education, that was the trajectory that I didn't know we had an option for. And so we put her in school. She's a little social butterfly. She loved everybody and everything. And so we went into kindergarten, and then we went into first grade at a magnet school.
Okay.
Kindergarten.
And how old is she now?
She may not want me to tell you, but she's in her 30s.
Oh, okay, okay. So you've been around doing this a long time.
I have.
Okay.
And I met the kindergarten teacher in her house and loved her and felt that I could trust my child with her. Mm-hmm. The first year was not that way. It was really bad. Mm-hmm. And chaos, absolute chaos. And there was an incident we talked about a little bit. That was the final straw, and it happened around the holidays. in the magnet school, we did 2 weeks of Kwanzaa, and a little Jewish boy went around to all the classes and talked about Hanukkah, which mm-hmm. both were fine.
Right.
My daughter had a little teeny book that was called Alice in Bible Land.
Okay.
And it was about the baby in the manger, mm-hmm. and they would not let her read that book.
That's powerful, because I know more people are saying there should be more prayer in school, and they're more, and I'm noticing it's being taken out even more so now these days on situations. And you took the bull by the horn, and God just put you through like David and Goliath, and you walked in. And what happened? You went to the principal, or you talked to somebody, and you...
Yes, we were having the final party this semester, and I said I needed to talk to you about what happened with Margaret, and I told him the story, and he said, look around. There's reindeer and snowmen everywhere. And I looked him in the eyes, and I was very polite. I wasn't angry. I just said, you know, and I know that that Christmas is not about reindeer and snowmen, but about a baby in a manger. Mm-hmm. And I am tired of my daughter being told that everybody else's belief is right and hers is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, we were done with public school.
You know, I wish I would have known you years back, because when my son, I was talking that he passed away, yes, 2 years ago, and that's how I started the Miracle Stories. And I remember in elementary school, they were talking about evolution and everything, and he looked at the teacher and he said, well, my answers didn't come from apes, but maybe yours did. Oh, I got a call from the principal's office. I was in there right away, and I'll tell you. And I gave him an earful as well, you know, and mm-hmm. I get it. And with what you're doing now and how you're helping people and how Leslie has helped you so much. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about homeschool before we get into your book. How many hours did you homeschool, like during the day?
Oh, okay.
And mm-hmm. during the week?
Homeschool compared to public school. Public school, you've got 30 kids in a class. You're mm-hmm. basically doing crowd control the whole time.
Right.
So even if you're focused on a subject, there's always chaos. There's always different things coming up. When you're homeschooling, it's much more focused. And even a lot of homeschooling isn't sitting at a desk writing. Mm-hmm. Now, you cannot get math through osmosis, unfortunately. That was, you know,
right.
That was a hard one. But when
so
you're
what time
out,
did you start in the morning-ish?
Mm-hmm. When we got up and ate and were ready.
Nice.
Seriously. I am not a very, my husband is going to laugh. I am not a very dictatorial person. I don't do schedules real well, which is one reason that the homeschool co-op was wonderful, because I knew that day we had school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to be real.
I want to know that. My name is Dawn. I'm not a morning person. Mother should name me Dusk.
Yes, yes. I am not a morning person. So basically, wherever we were was a homeschool. If we went to the grocery store, it was homeschooling. I remember it was so exciting. My son had started learning to read his letters. Mm-hmm. We used Dr. Seuss's ABC book. That's
okay.
How both my children learned their colors and their letters. And basically, we went over the front pieces and the back piece and went over and over, and it was a game.
Oh,
everything
cool.
Can be a game.
Right.
Because children at that age, especially the young ages, want to learn. They're little sponges. They want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why school is definitely an area parents need to pay attention to.
You know, I mean, a lot of parents say, I'm too busy. We're, you know, I'm single. I can't do homeschool. You know, we're too busy. We're too family working unit. What would you tell those parents, you know, and if they ever thought about homeschooling, like you started at maybe 9 or 10, you're saying ish.
Yeah.
And then like how many hours would
Just
you say?
Just a couple. Because
wow.
You're focused on each child.
Right.
And then if you have more children, you actually, the older children help the younger children.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of families, I have a friend that had 10 children. So her older ones were pretty much doing their thing while she was taking care of the babies. And but with mine, you know, my son was 3.5 years younger than his sister,
mm-hmm.
and he hung around with us.
What about curriculum? Where do you, that's another question.
Yes.
Is it from the, is there a program on the computer? Is it something that you've put together from the schools, or explain
it
that?
It has exploded. So there are online classes, which are good. You still need one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that. But the curriculum, if you're homeschooling, that can probably be the most expensive part,
mm-hmm.
but libraries carry books. You can choose a subject and just go and start getting library books. It
wow.
does not have to be that expensive. They're online bookstores that sell them. Mm-hmm. There are companies that actually have packaged by the year courses and curriculum that they send out for missionaries.
Wow.
So it's all one included. We usually did a mix of things. We didn't do very many things online except for typing, because we're talking several years ago.
Right.
And there wasn't that much available. But reading, lots and lots of reading, lots of discussion. The math programs, we use Saxon math, and it was a lot of repetition. But I didn't mm-hmm. make my kids do every single one.
So do they give you the answers as a parent? What happens is a mom's out there and they go, my masks are not good. We have an iPhone and I just calculate what the cost is at the store for a discount. How does that work if somebody's not good in a certain area?
Absolutely.
So there are answers that they have for you?
Yeah, you have the teacher's manual.
Okay.
I would never, never attempt to teach without a teacher's manual.
Right.
But, and I know parents that are, you know, legal immigrants that did not grow up with English, and they would study their lessons the night before and then teach their children.
Right.
Now, you did ask about single parents and working parents.
Right.
And there is, I will tell you, there's a sacrifice if you want to do homeschooling,
mm-hmm.
unless you have gobs of money. We did single family. The dad worked. My husband worked. Basically, he was doing what he needed to do so we could stay home. I could stay home and we could school. And mm-hmm. that was wonderful. And it's, you know, I'm always forever grateful. But a lot of the time I was a single mom.
Okay.
You know, because he worked nights and it was a little complicated.
Right.
So I know both sides of it. He would be able to get off and come to events and things. But that, again, I know the loneliness. I know the cost. I know when you're stuck and you don't know what to do, either with a behavior issue or your child's struggling.
Well, if they say, "Mom, I don't feel good," you can't say, "Go to the nurse's school."
No.
You know,
no.
And what about, you know, when they graduate? How does that work? Do you have a ceremony for them?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm in Florida, and we had a wonderful support group. It's still around, the PPEA. We put on a graduation ceremony that was cap and gowns and everything.
Beautiful.
The state of Florida puts on a homeschool graduation ceremony that is also
I did not know that.
Yes, yes.
See, for you parents out there that are like, this is a very interesting topic.
And the kids don't lose out, because they can homeschool and you're paying your taxes. You're still paying for public education.
Do you get anything on tax? They don't help you out? No, really?
No.
Wow.
But your children can participate in extracurricular activity.
Okay, where do they do that? From the nearest school? They do. Mm-hmm. So they can go into sports and things like that as well.
Yes, so they're not left out of that.
Like the yearbook, too?
We had our own yearbook.
Oh.
We had two ladies that were phenomenal and ran it for years and years.
Okay.
And we had, in fact, that was one of the co-op classes, writing a newspaper and getting things out there.
Oh, interesting.
So,
you know, this goes so fast. It's already 8:19. We have so much to talk about. I want to get into any other opportunities that you'd like to tell parents from your heart, the difference between maybe they're struggling. You know what? Just like I just saw on the news today, there was a bus with band members on that just tumbled over, and one was, taken into heaven, and a lot of injured. And, you know, the thing is, what is the pros and cons of homeschool to public school? What would you say? There's no bullying.
Breaks my heart to hear
that's hard.
You don't have to worry about shootings at your school.
Right.
You don't have to worry about bullying. You don't have to worry about your child falling between the cracks.
Right.
The opposite side is the relationships you have with your children.
And it goes so fast.
Yes. Oh, I know.
I had a lady one time tell me, I had two in a stroller. And she said, I'm going to tell you, it goes really fast and you'll never forget these words. And I went, no. And I am 63 and I look back and go, She was right. It's like the song of Blink of an Eye by Kenny Chesney. It's a blink of an eye.
Those songs make me cry every time.
I know. It's so hard. It's just like, oh my gosh. And enjoy the, because those are definite memories that you're
Absolutely.
Making for them and stronghold. And with all of that said, yes, yeah, so the pros and cons, which I believe in that as well, mm-hmm. you know, as a parent, and my kids are older now. And I, you know, I hear my grandson talking about I've been bullied in school, and, you know, and that breaks my heart. The kids, because he didn't have the right tennis shoes and he doesn't have this, or
it's me so angry.
And they have, you're like, oh, yeah. So you know, and well, they're getting that at home. And you're also, you're, you know, probably you take your vacations, and
yes, in fact, I've known people that their vacation was like a year long.
Oh.
They had RV. They did homeschooling as they went.
Oh,
can
that
you
is
imagine
a...
going in an RV and going to the state capitals and studying the history,
oh,
and going
my
to the
gosh.
Battlefields?
Now that's
homeschooling
what...
is real life.
Yep.
So instead of being stuck in a classroom reading about the things that happen,
they're out there hands-on.
Yes.
That's
yes.
phenomenal.
I think the education is better. It's like a private tutor.
It was the first time a couple of years ago I worked for a big modeling company, Barbizon, and we would travel all over. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm in my, well, that was in my 50s at that time. And I'm like, this is the first time I've ever been to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. to see the museums and the history. And
that's one of the stories in my book.
Oh.
Our homeschool co-op, we spent one whole year doing everything we could think of to raise money, and we went to Washington. This was right after 9/11.
Oh, my gosh.
And seriously, there were ninjas on top of the White House with their rifles, and there were rifles everywhere, and it was a tense situation, but a wonderful situation, and our kids will never forget going into all the different places we went. It's in the book.
Oh, my God. We're talking about that book in a few minutes at the extra half hour here. So how did you raise money for a trip? Did they do school fundraising?
Oh, I never want to see another candy bar in my life.
Oh, so you did the, I did that back
everybody,
in.
Everybody participated. We did car washes. We did candy sales. We did.
Now, this was your family or other families as well?
The whole co-op.
Okay.
Anybody that wanted to go.
Right.
And we you did shares. So if there were six people in your family and you showed up and did a candy sale, you got six shares of that profit.
Oh, okay.
It was wonderful. And we took, I think, 65 people to Washington.
Whoa, those were all homeschooled from other families.
Yes.
That's amazing.
From our co-op.
I like the RV trip.
Oh, yeah. That was another family, another situation.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
Yeah, we did a caravan. We had walkie-talkies. They weren't cell phones then.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Who know everything's online now with everything. I know we're going to go to the 8:30 hour here, and I have to give a shout-out real quick. If you're looking to go on a private sailboat, sunkisscharters.com. It's a 37-foot endeavor out in the Gulf of Mexico, and you want to feel refreshed and renewed. Maybe we put homeschool kids on there and take
they would
a
love
trip.
It.
That would be amazing.
That would go right with an ocean
well,
unit
we'd have
study.
To do another razor, fundraiser.
Yeah.
And that's one experience. And we have a big trolling rod. You'll see dolphins. We saw a big stingray jump out of the air one time. And the pontoon boat is another major experience. It's a 28-foot. We won last year for the Yacht Club Christmas Parade in Clearwater Beach. So wait till this year. My brother, Captain Tom, is an amazing person to put all these lights, and we have a really good idea what we're going to do. So we're going to have that for the holidays with Christmas music, hot chocolate, and cookies. He dresses up as Santa. And you can go snorkeling. We have our fishing license. The reason we charge $125 an hour is, of course, for gas and for the fishing license that we paid for. And it's an extra $15 for bait, or you pick up your own. We have a big cooler with chips, water, and soda on board. Check out this amazing experience. And we have a Regal coming, another boat, about 10 to 12 people, by maybe the first of the year. It's being redone right now with another partner. Go to sunkisscharters.com and check it out.
Yes.
And so, again, come out and sail in pontoon, and it's just truly amazing. So what I want to get into in this next half hour is, how did you meet this amazing Leslie Graham?
We homeschooled together. I taught her
no
children.
Way.
She taught my children.
Oh, yes. She didn't tell me that story. That is fabulous. Wow. I met Leslie with Forbes Riley. I went to a big event, and it was, I think it was like $1 million handshake or something.
Yes.
And we had met back about, six, 7 years ago. And just a phenomenal woman. She actually brought a couple other guests on the show. That was a woman that went to hell and went to heaven. And that book is so strong. I had to put it down. I have to say this, and I won't get it. I got to get her back on the air with me.
Yes.
But oh, there's a part I have to tell you. Leslie's friend, Pastor, you know who I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. The red sheet. Yes. Yeah, so I'm reading this part, and when she went to hell, God said, I don't know you because your Bible's sitting on your table and you're not, you haven't read it. And when I had that, that's when I started the Year Bible. I was like, I am reading. But that is a very powerful testimony. And Leslie's also a Christian woman, mm-hmm. and helps so many people. And explain, because I know what kind of Leslie does, but you know more what Leslie does. Mm-hmm. So kind of explain what Leslie Graham does.
She is an amazing woman. She has four kids, I think. I hope I haven't left one out. But she homeschooled them. She has educated herself. She has numerous degrees. She's very, very smart. And she loves to reach out and help people, whatever they need. The woman you were speaking with, I was the editor on that book.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That is such a... So tell us... I'm going to just jump in real quick so I don't forget. As an editor, what... This is a whole new field because people have said you need to write a book, and we're going to get into that later and what to do and how to do it. What does an editor do?
Basically, you want to make sure that and it depends. There's several different kinds of editors. I kind of just did it all. I read it. I made sure it flowed. I made sure of grammar. I made sure of that the stories made sense. If there were gaps, we had to go back and fill those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, an editor makes sure that the story is fun, readable, and is logical.
Okay, so even so, if you're writing a book for you out there on TikTok land as well, do you start out like on a Microsoft Word? How do you start typing? Now, I had talked to other authors before. You just start writing. But if you start on your computer, where do you start?
I didn't.
Oh.
No. Okay, and this is why I love what Leslie does. She has a company called Turn It Into a Book.
Okay.
And you send her either audio files, video files, any speeches you've done, and they actually transcribe those.
Wow.
And then you work. So I tried quite a while because when I was in school, I could sit in front of the computer and I would just write and write and write. This, I don't know, age, time, whatever, I could not sit down. So I basically dictated this book walking around my house into an audio file.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm. And so,
oh, see, I'm doing it the wrong way.
Yeah,
I'm
too antsy.
Oh, Lisa Vecchus, are you listening to this? You told me about, and Carrie K. Davis, you want to write a book? Listen to this.
Yes.
This
it was
is powerful.
Easy. It was absolutely easy to write this book. Now, I had sat down ahead of time and did a mind dump where I just started all the different things having to do with homeschool.
Okay.
Anything that I did, and I just put them down. There were no rhyme or reason. There was no rhyme or reason. There was no number one, number two, number three. It was just get it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get it out, you can start thinking about what story goes with that topic.
Okay.
And where does it flow in the book?
Okay.
And that's how we did it.
Interesting, because I started typing on Microsoft, and then I copy it, put it on my email, and then I have to copy and paste later on. So I started for my grandchildren about their Gigi's life, you know. And, you know, when I was a flight attendant, and this is a whole new thing, and I do have another question, I actually wrote a synopsis of a story when I was a flight attendant for a children's book. I never finished it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, how does someone do illustration if you have something that you need, like animated something, and you it's like a cartoon form. How do you do that?
You go to Leslie.
You go. She does all that?
Oh, they do everything.
Wow.
The only thing that they don't do at this point in time is publish, just because Amazon is there and it's so easy. They do a couple of other publishing companies I work with also.
Okay.
But it's all up to you.
So can you send your manuscript to a publisher when you're done?
Well, when you're done with what I do with her, that book is finished. You've got your cover,
done.
You've got your illustrations, you've got, in my case, I did all the forms. You've got all that, and all you have to do is upload it to Amazon or to the publisher.
Okay,
so now that's self-publishing.
Right,
okay,
self-publishing.
Keep that in mind. Now,
okay.
If you're going the other route, that's another ball game, and I do not know how that goes. She could probably tell you about that, though, too.
And what does it cost, like, for your commission on books-wise? You know, if you're trying to sell it, I know, does Amazon take a cut of it, or?
They do take a cut. I think they take, I don't know. I shouldn't say because I really don't know.
Okay, that's something we can get Leslie on and ask her about that later.
Yeah, get Leslie on. Different people have different things. I know some of her clients have done self-publishing. Mm-hmm. Some of her clients have gone to a publisher and have an agent. And, you know, and that, of course, is a little bit more expensive.
I knew she was helping people write, but I didn't know the in-depth of it, of what she does. And you're telling me that you walked around with a tape recorder and you
on my phone.
And then how did they take it into the story format?
She has a program that it'll transcribe, and then you sit in front of your computer.
Okay.
And then you go through and say, does this make sense? And you get to correct, and then they do the editing. Because you don't want to edit yourself. Whatever you do, do not edit yourself when you write a book. It doesn't work. It's never as good.
Somebody's asking, what about if you're punctuation and you're not a good speller?
Doesn't matter. That's why you have an editor.
That's why the editor is there. Okay.
Yes. She does several edits in the book, and this last edit, we have one left, but this last edit totally made my book 100% better.
Amazing. And how long have you been working on your book?
Since May.
Okay, so you're almost done.
I should have been done.
Well, that's okay. So, and what is your title of your book called?
It's called Homeschooling with Friends, Building a Thriving Community Through Homeschool Co-ops.
Oh my God, I see you on so many talk shows because, you know, with everything happening around the corner in this world, and you're a Christian, you're a praying woman, and you see what's happening to this world, and more people are going to want to know the answers what to do. They're like, hey, I don't want my kid going to school. This just happened. You know, I remember going to South Carolina to my niece's school. Now, okay, I'm going to go back 50, 60 years ago. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying that. And I had to walk in. There were metal detectors. I went with her to school, and they made sure, because they always had problems and fights and everything, you know, and that was pretty scary to walk through this stuff. You know, I was not going through an airport, but it was a school that they wanted to make sure.
The world's gotten mean.
Yes, it has. And that's why you have to stay in prayer and just, you know, that's what we were talking about. And let's get into your book. So you're talking about, you've got this amazing book that's coming out soon. If somebody wants to pre-order, or can you get a, do you have a website, an email, phone number?
I have an email that you would email melinda@homeschoolingwithfriends.com. We are in the process of getting pre-order set up. I also am going to shoot off a course with that.
Okay.
To help walk people. You can use the book to walk step by step by step right down. You can create a whole co-op that way. Because I have everything that you need, all the steps you need to take.
I'm telling you, people are saying they cannot believe that you can write a book talking into a microphone.
It's wonderful.
And somebody can take that with a program, and you don't have to sit like me at the computer and type out your life story.
Leslie's the only one I know that does that. Turnitintoabook.com.
Turnitintoabook.com. Turnitintoabook.com. And tell Leslie Graham that Dawn Reese sent you on Miracle Stories. So also, can you give us a little hint in the book? You have some amazing stories.
I do. I have just our adventures. You know, the fact that you need to be adaptable. The fact that you will develop friendships, lifelong friendships. You will develop, your kids will have a community of peers, but at all different age levels. That's the coolest thing about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. You are not shuttled into certain ages. You are not shuttled into boys against the girls. You're shuttled when everybody wants everyone to succeed and to do well.
Right.
When we were teaching those kids in that co-op, people would cheer when we would read a great story.
Right.
I tell this story. I taught a newspaper class, and the goal of...
I was going to ask you that. Yes. That's
the goal
cool.
of all those kids.
So how did you know about newspapers?
We just wrote.
Oh.
We used a program and, you know, and did the banners and all that stuff, but we wrote stories.
That's so cool.
And the kids' goal was to make Miss S cry. So if they did, they cheered.
Oh.
They always made me cry. So we have that. We talk about the adaptability. One of my favorite chapters in the book is there's a naked boy in the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
And yes. So you have to be adaptable. You have to know that you're not going to expect things going on, you know.
Right.
So
Wow, what, that's so inspirational. And so another part of the story, you talked about your traveling, mm-hmm. and is there anything that, if anybody has a question, let me know. You can call in, yeah. yes, and ask her a question about her book. And again, tell everybody your name.
It's Melinda Stortenbecker.
Yes.
And the book is Homeschooling with Friends, Building a Thriving Community Through Homeschool Co-ops.
Wow. So I have a question. So how do you relax? What is your fun thing to do? I mean, what is your hobbies that you love when you're not doing that?
I guess probably because my mom's an English teacher. I love to read. I just love to read. I have started gardening.
Okay.
I love that. I'm failing royally at that. you know, but I really believe that gardeners are the ultimate optimist. Because yeah. we know it's going to be better the next time.
I brought so some flowers. I think they're lilies or the pretty white ones at home. And my husband's like, honey, you have to water them.
Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah.
And here's an example. I told my boss today, we were talking about Christmas and all the poinsettias. And I have a friend, she's probably watching, Mama Jay. She's a masseuse out there. If anybody needs a home masseuse, she it goes to your homes and she works. She's, I think, at the horse track or dog track doing massages now.
I might need that.
Yeah, Essentials Spa, she works. So anyway, she's over at my house one day and last year, and I have this beautiful poinsettia sitting on the table, and I kept watering it and watering it. And she looks at me and she goes, Dawn, that's a fake plant.
I knew you were going to say that.
I got it from Walmart. I thought it was real. And all of a sudden, I picked up the plant, and there was like a ton of water that bursted out.
That's too funny.
And I just, you know, I thought it was real because it was sitting right there at Walmart. When you walk in, you're like, oh, this is so beautiful. And he says, yeah, my green thumb is not green.
Well, I'm gardening outside.
Oh, that's
good.
So I'm
doing vegetables.
Oh, that's different.
Yes, we're trying to do organic.
Okay.
So I just had my soil tested. It's mostly, I mean, I've put stuff in it, so much stuff in it. It's still sand.
Well, I have another story because my sister-in-law will laugh at this one. Lena, and she works as a concierge and mm-hmm. her husband is a captain. So I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and she was gardening in the backyard. And it says, oops, I don't want to end the live. I don't know what that is. I think, there we go. And the funny story was, I love chives, like, you know, and my potatoes and stuff. Oh, yeah. And so she cut some grass up in the back and she gave it, and she was laughing. And I said, this is not, I thought it was out of her garden. It wasn't.
That's not funny. Did she have you eat it?
Yeah.
Does she spray her yard?
Well, I tried. I said, this doesn't taste like a funny chive. I don't know what this is, you know. Like, what is this? But that was our family jokester for that as well. Oh, sorry about that. My live just went off on me. Another thing, too, is it is 8:38 for all of you that want to know what time it is. And so you're fun. So you like to garden. Have you been someplace that you would like to go pretty soon?
When my husband and I travel, we always hit the gardens because they're so beautiful. And,
okay.
And I'm learning.
So, oh, good.
Yeah, I'm that's a goal. So I take copious amounts of pictures saying I want that and then that. So,
nice. Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about, too, is like people will ask, what motivates you? Like, what motivates you to get you going every day?
My family. God motivated me on this book. He actually said, get this book done.
So how did you hear that? Because people say, how do you know it's God? You know, because I was talking, and I'm going to bring this up today. I was talking to a lady at work about the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. on some things, and we can talk about this coming the other half hour. How did God speak to you, and how do you know that's God?
First of all, he speaks you out of his word. So when you're reading that word, and don't take one scripture, because God doesn't talk that way.
Mm-hmm.
His scriptures flow.
Right.
They go together. So if you hear something, you need to check and mm-hmm. see, is this God? There's a still small voice. That Holy Spirit is in you when you mm-hmm. have Jesus.
What do you tell someone that they don't know the Holy Spirit? They go, what is that? Are you hearing, I'm sorry, but are you hearing voices? You know, I mean, like, come on. They don't know. They, you know, I'm just, and I've heard this many times, you mm-hmm. know, like, mm-hmm. and I want your answer, and I want to tell you my answer on that, too.
Well, I've heard the voice of God one time that was audible that I turned around to see who was talking to me. And he was telling me that someone was going to be saved. And this was someone who was dear to me and was not walking that way. And it took 45 years, but God let me know 45 years later, he had gotten saved. He didn't need to do that, and he did. So,
well, you know, and here's my story. When I was talking to a lady at work, thank you for the roses. You're so adorable. They're sending me roses on TikTok. Oh. I don't know who that is. I'm trying to look. I don't have, where are my glasses here? I'm like, oh, how cool that is. Oh, Big Butts 357. He was just on with a miracle story of a pastor a couple weeks ago. That was amazing. Thank you. I was at work, and all of a sudden I got into the spiritual conversation, and I was about to go on my quick break, and I just had a beautiful story. This lady we were talking to, and the Holy Spirit just came about the conversation. Mm-hmm. She goes, how do you know the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, you know, when my son, before he passed away, he was 32 at the time, and that week God just said, hug him, love him, hug him. And I kept giving him hugs, and he's like, Mom, quit kissing on me, quit loving me up. I'm like, but he's a big guy, and I kept giving him hugs. The night before he passed away, he had called me and he said, Mom, can I borrow a check? I need to pay rent. And I said, I got one. You can sell it to me. And so I got over to the house, and all of a sudden I was supposed to come to the radio station and I do some commercials or something, and all of a sudden I felt God said, do not move, you stay here. It was so strong in my spirit, not my head, it was in my spirit. I sat down, I talked to him, we laughed. He's like, Mom, I love the kitty you found. Thanks to Ellen, because she found that kitty, and my grandson still has that kitty to this day. And he was laughing and just telling me how much he enjoyed where his life was going. It took a while. It's like you plant a flower, it doesn't come overnight. Mm-hmm. That flower grows up. As my mom said, how is a diamond made? Through a lot of pressure. It's not overnight. It's God's timing and everything. But that night, it was when he passed away. And I had that last day with him, which was to me. And then he shows up in my dreams. So, you know, and he's like, Mom, I just came to give you a hug. And my parents showed up in my dreams, and he's like, Mom and Dad, I said, Nicholas, and they said, he's okay. We're telling you he's okay. And life goes by so fast, people.
Oh, so fast.
And you try to enjoy every single moment, and try to enjoy your family. Everybody can get on everybody's nerves in the family, but our family will forgive the next day. It's just, you know, people move in with each other, and we've done that in our past, and I feel so bad because I know people that their families are not there. I have a friend right now. I said, where's your family? And she goes, my sisters, my brothers don't talk to me. You know, I have a son that's in Orlando. You know who you are. I'm just telling your miracle story. But she's striving to make it on her own, and there's no help for family to be there to say, hey, come on over for dinner, or hey, stay at my house on the couch for a while, you know, if you're van camping. And that's important. And it, you know, just to give someone that attention from God says, the more you give, the more you get. And I don't care about getting. All I know is what God is telling me what to do with the show. And it's going a whole different format.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
So do you have, I know we have 15 minutes. Do you have any miracle stories in your life or anything that God has done in your life that you can inspire someone out there? Well, besides your amazing book that's coming out.
Well, what I really want to share is that God is on your side. There were many years that I didn't know that. I didn't believe it. And even after I met Jesus, I still didn't know that he was for me and not against me. And that is the story we need to know. God is not some God up there in the air with a lightning bolt ready to zap us if we make mistakes. We're humans. We're going to make mistakes. But he sent Jesus to love us no matter what we do. He told me years and years and years ago that it didn't matter what I did, that he wouldn't love me anymore, and it didn't matter what I did, he wouldn't love me any less. He sent Jesus. That's all there was. He can't love us anymore. He can't love us any less. He can help us change. I am not saying to stay where you are, and I'm not saying to stay in sin, especially if you know it's sin. But know that no matter where you are, his love has not changed for you. His love will never change for you.
What do you do if somebody's mad at God?
Oh,
and
I
they
was.
Say, and I want to talk about that because, and they say, I don't, me and God aren't talking. I'm not going to church. I don't care anymore. How were you mad at God, and how did he rectify that in your life?
You really want me to go with it?
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't talk about this.
I don't know. It's just the Holy Spirit is just telling me.
Okay. How do I start? I was raped while I was witnessing to a young man. And that wrecked my world. It wrecked my life. It changed the trajectory. I was doing Bible schools. I was doing teaching because I wanted to be used so badly by God. And
what was your spiritual walk at that time?
I was a believer. Okay. I was strong. I was leading Bible studies.
Wow.
And so this happened. And I knew God loved me, but we could not discuss that. We talked about everything else. And it was about a year later.
Did you disconnect yourself from God at that time?
No, we talked about everything else. I couldn't go there. The church I had been going to taught that if you go through a trial and you don't pass it, then you get to go through it again. Live your life that way.
Because my mother, when she passed away, she was a very spiritual woman. They used to pray for people. And she said, Dawn, watch your words. She said, to this day, I told your father I was going to be 3 years behind him. She goes, Dawn, it's almost 3 years behind him. She goes, my words are very powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so about a year later, I was talking to him, driving very fast with the radio very loud because I didn't want to hear him. And you cannot you can't make it loud enough so you don't hear the Holy Spirit. And he said, I didn't send that guy. And I said, then how do you, because it was always your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a test. Then how do you test us? And he said, through your obedience. And so that was 2 days before my 28th birthday. And I was on a long road trip.
By yourself?
Yeah, this year.
I can't tell you how many times I have rode across the country by myself through Texas.
Yeah.
And anything can happen out there.
Well, I just went to see my son graduate. Mm-hmm. He walked for his doctorate. And so I was on the way, and song came on about how wonderful God is. And I'd been praying, and, you know, you trust him in all times. And I had to stop. I said, God, I can't say that. It was about God not letting you down.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Father, you let me down. Why? What? You know, my heart was just crying out. I wasn't angry with him. I was just trying to understand. And very quietly, he told me, just in my spirit, just in my brain, he mm-hmm. said that he didn't let me down, that man had been sent there to kill me, and that he protected my life. And it makes a whole difference. And mm-hmm. as a little woo-woo for people, I just can only tell you my story and what I've heard. So that's one of my miracle stories. It's made a difference in my whole life. And that just happened in, I don't know, July.
Well, you know, I was telling you this story, and back with my husband, Bert, we were not married yet, and he was going to Colorado, and I had a little place in Hollywood, Florida. And we had just changed the locks from an ex-boyfriend, and we were just at a powerful prayer meeting with Joe Marie Payton from Family Matters, and it was very powerful. We had a pastor come in. He was born, raised Catholic, and long story short, we went back to our apartment, and honest to God, we were broke as can be. I was working at Macy's, and I saw those shirts piled up, and I was like, that is overwhelming, because you could fold these shirts, and they're never-ending piles of shirts for Christmas.
Yes.
Anyway, so I got back with all this stuff, and we're walking the dogs about 12:30 at night, and he said, did you lock the door? I said, yeah, with the key I was inside, and you had to open it with a key. And he goes, we don't have any money with a locksmith. And he went to his truck, and we were trying to open the door, and there was no way, the little bars on the, and I'm like, ooh, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, this guy walks by, long hair, looks like a tow truck driver, and he says, hey guys, how you doing? I said, I'm locked out of my place, my little studio. And he goes, where? Now, I'm a person that says, how'd you do it? What'd you do? Everything. We follow him like two little puppy dogs, and we walk over. Now, this is 12:45, almost 1 o'clock in the morning, and he puts his hand on the door and opens it up, walks away,
yes.
And I looked at my fiancé, my husband before, and I said, what just happened?
Yeah.
What was this about? And we tried to look for the guy to give him a little tip or something, mm-hmm. you know, whatever little cash we had, and he was gone. It was nowhere in sight.
And we talked, I had a story like that.
Yes.
After the attack, I was going back to Jacksonville to visit family, and I had a little car that had a faulty catalytic converter, and it would just stop It would just stop. And I had had it priced in Tampa, where I was living at the time. It was almost $400, and I didn't have $400.
Mm-hmm.
So I took off anyway. And
I just had a friend go through that the other day.
It's awful. Like,
she
it's
knows
awful.
What you mean, yeah.
And so
she said, my van is stalling. I don't know why, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was after work, so it's dark. And I got up on 301, and the car started stopping. And I was set
there.
Is this
late at night?
Oh, yeah. It's like 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And so, maybe 9 o'clock. It was dark. It was way dark. And so, I would sit there. Not. It was well before cell phones also.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on that part of 301, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would go, and it would start, and I would go about 10 or 15 feet. It would stop again. And this panel truck pulled up in front of me. And this man got out and was walking back to the car. And I tried my best to get out of the car to tell him what was happening, and the spirit of fear was all over me. It was a man.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I could not do it. So he walked over, I kept the window up, and he said, what's going on? I told him, that man, he says, well, I'll follow you. You just drive, and I'll make sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hopped up 301 until we got to Citra.
Wow.
On the left side of the road, there was a gas station with the bay open and a light on. And mm-hmm. I pulled my car in there. The man came out. He says, can I help you? I'm fixing to close. And I told him what was going on. It just so happened he had a catalytic converter that fit my car.
Wow.
In the garage. He put it in. He did not charge me. And I had turned around to tell this man how much I appreciated him and to thank him. He was gone. I didn't hear the truck go. I didn't hear an
engine
go. Did
he charge you for it?
No. No.
Wow.
No. But the man that kept his truck behind mine, he was gone.
Wow.
I never heard him take off.
You know, my mom and I were in a convertible Mustang or something. We were on our way to Miami, and something happened. The car broke down. She says, let's pray for someone. I said, no, we're going to pray for the right person to come to the car.
Yeah.
Because the first prayer she did was somebody just pulled over and tried to charge us with taking us tow truck. Within minutes, I would say 10 minutes later, a guy pulls up, and he says, listen, I work on these cars all day long. He fixed the problem. And I said, God says, watch what you ask for. You know, and I want to tell everybody.
That's my Jesus.
I want to tell everybody out there, too, is, you know, my refrigerator is a prayer list. When I was younger, I put a sailboat. I was a flight attendant, making about $40,000 a year. And I look at the sailboat, and I go, I would love the sailboat life. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I'd pray over and say, thank you, God, for that sailboat. Well, little did I know, God has a sense of humor, because we ended up meeting my husband now, and we lived on the sailboat that didn't work at the time. And but now it's all redone, and it's amazing. If you just see it, sunkisscharters.com. It's so gorgeous and tropical. But, you know, put what you want on your refrigerator and pray over it. You know, I'm not just saying, I'm not manifesting it, but if it's meant to be for you, it's meant to be. You know, just like when I was a flight attendant, I want to tell everybody, I had a wonderful job as a G4 flight attendant, and I had so much fun. And I look back now, and I have a son sitting in the other room, and these were like turnarounds, but there are times that I flew too much, and there is a lot of things that I say, oh, I wish I would have done better, but those are lessons. Like my mom said, I'm going home, I've learned all my lessons. And there are lessons every day. And God says, if you don't get that lesson, I'm going to give it to you again. Get that lesson. Well, anyways, I saw this ad in the paper that said broadcast journalism, Santiago College in Orange County. And I went, oh, that's me. That's me. And I'm jumping up. I'm going to college for broadcasting and journalism. And I went and I auditioned and I got in. And we had our own show rounded about Orange County News. But anyways, long story short, a week later, I get a call from my boss. And he goes, Dawn, you know, God took you in the right direction. He said, your captain crashed in Aspen and nobody made it. It was pilot's error. And I would have been on that plane, and how I found this little job was so much fun. And all of a sudden, that was the small voice.
Yeah.
And this little ad jumped out of the paper at me, and it said, broadcast journalism. I said, that's what I want to do. Of course, have I gotten paid from it? there are some times that you'll get sponsors, people like, you know, Leslie Graham. We want to thank her with, say her book.
Thank you. Turn it into a book. .com is her business.
Yes, and we want to thank her for the other part of sponsoring this show with you as well.
Yes.
And we do have to get her on. And we have 4 minutes left. So, with all that said, all I can tell you is, enjoy every moment of your life. And if God gives you that stirring spirit to pray for somebody, you get on your knees and start praying for that person. And I had a situation, I was in Nashville, and something, a pastor woman came in my room, and there was a situation. She prayed, and she prayed for me. There, and that's a whole other story. But she was a pastor woman, and she's like, you let that person back in, there'll be 8 more demons attached to that one. And, you know, when God shuts a door on a friend, or God shuts a door on something, and he's got something better for you, trust him with all your heart. Yes. That's all I can say. And there's going to be more miracle stories. If you have a miracle story, DawnReeseMiracleStories@gmail.com. Send me your story, and we'll talk about it, getting you on the air. And I told you it goes fast.
Yes. Did I tell him how to get in touch with me?
No, we need to do that. You have 5 minutes.
I couldn't remember. So it's Melinda@homeschoolingwithfriends.com.
And if you want to learn about homeschooling with your children, and maybe you say, you know what, how old can you homeschool? Like, can you go to high school and homeschool?
My children did. We've had kids that started in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, especially when climates change, school climates change. And people have homeschooled college and gone all the way through college.
Now, I know my daughter-in-law has gone through her teaching degree, and she wanted to be into like CSI stuff. She changed it to teaching. Heather, we love you. I know you're watching. And now she passed all of her courses, and that took a while of humps and prayer and trying to get her over there, and she's super happy with that and the kids. And, you know, just follow your dreams in your heart. And, you know, I always say, and I want to end with this, my mom always said this, she says, sit down and write a letter to God. And she said, think of for what you have. Think of for what you want. And there was a time I lost everything in storage. I mean, I'm talking a couple times with, and I was like, how am I going to turn this around? I'm riding a bike to work. I work on a golf course. The guys tell me, Dawn, get off the green on the golf cart. And I'm like, everything's green. I got fired from that one. What are you talking about? My life was in shambles. And so I wrote this letter, and I thank God for what I had, and my hands, my eyes, my everything. Absolutely. You know, and I said, this is what I want to see in my life. And long story short, I opened it up a year later, and I meet my husband, Bert. And God had tripled and quadrupled everything that I lost and more, and gave us a family business. And, you know, it's really trusting him in that walk that I really want to stress to people out there. And, you know, nobody's perfect. Only God is perfect. You know, people like, oh, you're so perfect. No, I do have a friend in California. I think she's perfect. I haven't seen her, Debbie. You know who you are. So anyways, we have 2 more minutes. Any last words that you want to say? Anything that comes to mind? Maybe what God is telling your heart to say to somebody out there?
I just want to reiterate, God is for you. In this world, everything is against you. Your friends are against you. The world's against you. But God is for you. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to say, seek him, because he is there to be found.
What a beautiful show tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening. And remember, give God all the glory and honor in your life, and watch things happen. You know, and find a good church. You know, I have people, I don't need to go to church. I'll go out in the ocean and have the fresh air and listen to God. Okay, that's great. But also get in the Word and find yourself a good church. And
well, the Bible says that you should be hanging around with believers, because you build each other up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And it's not always going to be smooth, because we're people.
Right.
But there will be a community. So when things happen, you will not be alone.
Right. And we just want to thank God for favoring my family, my son Rick, for all opportunities in his life. And Matt, we pray for you too, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
That God gives you the desires of your heart with your production and everything that you're doing in your life. He looks like a Rays baseball player back there. It's so cool. I love his look today.
You're the only one to say that today.
So Rays baseball. I love it. Okay, I'm Dawn Reese. We have more miracle stories coming up in the next couple weeks. And next week will be the half hour with Teresa and myself, with the hour special, with her beauty queen special out of Sacramento, California. If you would like to be on the show and you have a miracle story, 727-871-7788. Dawn Reese, miracle stories@gmail.com. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for watching.
Bye-bye.
Bye.